Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Jumpin' Jimmy Herbs. We've got player props, but more importantly, we've got a postseason trade.
Postseason trade, the rare postseason trade.
So I think the deadline is live? Live line? Trade live line?
I guess so.
It's weird. We're past the deadline where they're like, go ahead and trade anyway.
It's the trade live line.
Yeah, once the postseason starts, I think you can start trading again. And we've had it before. Like, we've had it in the past. The biggest one I remember is Chris Webber got traded to the Kings for Mitch Richmond and Otis Thorpe back in, like, the middle of May in 1998.
That's good recall.
That's what, well, I remember.
If you asked me when that happened, I would have absolutely.
The only reason I remember is because I lived in Sacramento at the time. It was a big deal there.
Huge deal. Yeah. Franchise changing.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch Richmond was very beloved, and Chris Webber did not want to go to the Kings, was openly against it when the trade was announced.
How silly he was.
I know. He was young. Young and in love with the city of Washington, D.C. That's what he was. That. Wanted to play with Juwan Howard.
I've never been to Washington, D.C. I don't know.
Wanted to play with Rasheed Wallace, assuming he was still there.
I would want to play with Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
I mean, honestly, if I was traded from a team that had Rasheed Wallace on it, I would be really upset.
I'd be very upset. But yeah, I remember it happening in the playoffs and wondering why you could make trades in the playoffs at the time. So that's my recall of it.
So you made a pun. Well, I made the pun in the episode, but you had made the pun previously, and then you used it as the title for our last podcast, and some people didn't like it.
No, some people were not happy.
Some people didn't like the being ready for this deli. And before that, you said the finals weren't Deliva Dover.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, come on. This one's going to write itself, right?
It seems like it, right?
Like, trades are not Ilya Sover? Or his tenure in Milwaukee is finally Ilya Sover? I don't know.
Yeah. I tried to make an Irsan Deladovia Sova.
Did you say Deladovia Sova?
Yeah. And it didn't go over well. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Not on Twitter. Let's talk about the trade. You like the deal because you like all the players involved. It's the Detroit Pistons getting Irsan Ilyasova. The Milwaukee Bucks get the very cap-friendly contracts of Caron Butler and Sean Williams, who's still in the NBA.
Extra E.
I guess I've just, like, I've never loved Ilyasova as much as the internet does. Like, I think he's fine. I wouldn't pay him $9 million or whatever he gets a year, $8 million a year.
He's getting 7.9 next year.
Okay.
And then he has an $8.4 million team option. So if the Pistons don't want him at that number, which really isn't that much because the salary cap's going up that year,
yeah.
Then they can cut him loose if they want to.
Yeah, it probably ends up being a good deal in terms of his money. But yeah, I don't know. He's very inconsistent and
injury prone.
Yeah, injury prone. Maybe that's Milwaukee's fault. Maybe it's not. But in theory, he can rebound, stretch four. He's a good shooter almost every other year.
And from outside. Some stretches of every year?
Yeah, and you throw him into Stan Van Gundy's system there, and it seems to be a nice fit. And now they don't have to even pretend to worry about Greg Monroe's free agency.
Yeah. I mean, well, this is my thing. Like, you don't have to love Ilyasova's game, but, like, there's no better fit for it than this system.
Probably not, yeah.
And I feel like, you know, he's not going to be Ryan Anderson from Orlando, but he'll play that role and be, like, a B version of that. And that's fine. Like, and he's a better rebounder than Anderson was even then. I think this is just huge for his career more than it is huge for the Pistons. Like, he'll be fine for the Pistons. He'll do well. But I just think if I'm him, I'm super happy because you see guys like Anthony Tolliver and, I mean, Sean Williams himself, who, like, when they actually got minutes last year next to Andre Drummond with just running pick and rolls over and over again and just they got open looks and they made them. And I think this is, you know, a situation where the Bucks were kind of an ugly offensive team and he just been there for so much and he played for so many different coaches and seen so many players come and go. I think this is a good change for him.
Yeah. I also like it for the Bucks just because Ilyasova wasn't really in your plans. I mean, not for what they're building.
Yeah.
So you get all kinds of cap relief because Caron Butler's deal is not guaranteed. Sean Williams' deal is definitely not guaranteed. And so you get cap relief. And now you're going to get, like, what, 20, 22 million?
Yeah. They can have up to 22 million if they want it.
Yeah, up to 22 million. They have their pick, right? Yeah, which is like 17th, 18th, something like that. They're going to have to re-sign Chris Middleton. But, I mean, I guess here's my problem with it. And this is
they have the 17th pick, yeah.
Yeah, this is a dumb retroactive complaint. But I didn't like the deal for Michael Carter-Williams. I thought they really found some of those with Brandon Knight. I like the fit there. I like what he did for them on both ends of the floor. And I get that they're going to try to build MCW into, you know, a much better player, obviously, and he fits with the defensive ranginess that they love once they can teach him how to play defense. And, you know, I think that, you know, I get that part of it. I just think now, like, if you had that cap space and you were re-signing Knight and Middleton, I would like that much better. But I get, like, hey, you've got MCW on a rookie deal, and that financially makes a lot of sense. I just wonder if they're maximizing the opportunity, but that's a long way away until we actually know that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't love that trade either. I think the jury's still kind of out on it because we don't know if Knight's going to be worth the next contract that he gets.
Right.
And we don't really know what MCW is yet. I mean, I think he's been okay. And the question is, like, with more time with Jason Kidd and in the system, if they can rebuild his shot and if he can keep developing on both ends, like, maybe he'll be something special, but we just haven't seen it yet. And if you're betting against that, the evidence is probably it's probably on your side so far. So, right. Like, long-term, like, we don't know if they've found their point guard of the future, but I think we already knew, like, they're going to basically start Middleton, Giannis, and Parker at the 2, 3, and 4, where they're all, like, basically doing the Golden State Warriors thing of switching everything and having long arms because that's what they want for their defense, like, for the next, what, 10 years or whatever, ideally.
Right.
If everything goes as planned, then that'll be kind of their core there. And they don't necessarily need Ilyasova as a, like, 28-year-old stretch four anymore. Like, he could contribute, fine, whatever. But I understand wanting cap room more than that. I also understand why the Pistons would want a guy like that, because Van Gundy seems like he wants to just win now. And I think having that guy next to Monroe with Reggie Jackson getting in the paint and dishing the perimeter, like, that is how, like, this could be a playoff team in the East next year. It could have been this year, but it just
they started too late by waving Josh Smith around
Christmas.
So I looked up Drummond's numbers with Tolliver on the floor this year when he had the stretch four, and he was like 56% from the field. He was 19-16. I mean, something ridiculous like that. Like, he was just incredible. Oh, 19-16 per 36 minutes. Let me get that straight. Mm-hmm. 19-16 per 36 minutes, which are just ridiculous numbers. Actually shot 6% better from the free throw line.
Hey.
40% free throw.
Tolliver's inspiring.
Yeah, so Tolliver clearly contributing in all facets of the game to Drummond. But with Drummond on the floor, Tolliver was 5% better from three. 33% without him, 38% with him this year. And then I started to look up Sean Williams and got distracted because, because I started thinking, like, I wonder if we're at a record high or we're, like, kind of at a low for Williams in the league?
There's always been a lot.
Yeah, so according to the media NBA stat site, we've got Sean Williams, Reggie Williams, Mo Williams, Marvin Williams, Lou Williams, Elliot Williams, Derek Williams, Darren Williams, and Michael Carter-Williams. So one, that's either 9 or 8, because I don't know if you count Michael Carter-Williams as a Williams because
of
the hyphen. I think it's cheating.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you count him as a Carter and a Williams.
Would you see? No, that I definitely don't agree with. It's got to be one of the, like, would you count Jason Kidd and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist as two kids?
I guess. Yeah, sure.
I don't like that.
I don't mind it.
I think this is the hot button issue of our time. I don't think you can count him as a Williams, and you certainly as hell do not count him as a Carter. He's a Carter Williams. That's his last name.
But, yeah, I if you want, I guess. But, here's a question. Would you count Corliss Williamson as a Williams?
No, because he's got an un. He's got an un at the end of his name.
No hesitation.
No, yeah, no hesitation at all. Why would you ever hesitate on an issue like that?
I don't know.
What an asinine question. Just awful. So I'm counting 8 Williams in the league.
Okay.
And then I don't know if we're getting any more. But yeah, So that's...
I'm trying to think.
That's my analysis of this trade.
Okay. What about, like, William Barton? I don't
know. No. No, you can't just...
Or Sir William Bynum?
If there was a guy with the first name of Williams...
Williams?
I still wouldn't count it.
Williams Bynum?
You Williams still Bynum? No. I don't think so. I don't think you can.
You are... Yeah, you're really by the book.
I'm a stickler when it comes to these last name counts. So...
Is Williams is the most popular last name in the league, right?
Gotta be. I don't think we have that many...
There's a few Johnsons.
There's some Johnsons and not a lot of Smiths, right?
But you couldn't count Darius Johnson Odom by your...
No, oh God, no. And I wouldn't count him as an Odom either.
Only Lamar. He's the only Odom that's ever... Wait, was there another Odom?
No.
I feel like there was another Odom at like Summer League or something.
Oh, we got a bunch of Smiths. We got Russ Smith, Josh Smith, Jason Smith, J.R. Smith, Ish Smith, Greg Smith. So that's six.
That's a bunch. Yeah, that's a bunch.
They're catching up on the Williams eyes.
But we've got Joe Johnson, Amir Johnson, Wesley Johnson, James Johnson, Chris Johnson, Nick Johnson, Orlando Johnson.
There's like Tyler nine Johnson. Chris Johnsons, too.
Ivan Johnson.
We have more Chris Johnsons than any Johnson, than any Williams.
There's got to be like seven Chris Johnsons.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
Yeah.
This has been really interesting so far in the middle of the finals.
I bet this is exactly what people tuned in for. I'll tell you that much. Conrad said we talked basketball for like 60% the other day. Today we're talking not last names.
But these are basketball last names.
Yeah, I guess it technically counts as basketball. I'll let him rule on that.
Okay.
But I would say they're not. It's not basketball.
No. Any other thoughts on the trade?
I think it's a good move. I mean, it's low risk for Detroit. He fits the system, even if I don't necessarily believe that he'll be a good player. At least the fit is good, the style of play. And if he is a good shooter this year and he's able to stay healthy, it ends up being a good move for them with everyone on that roster. For Milwaukee, I love it just because you cleared cap. You know, maybe you could have gotten a second round pick out of this, but you cleared cap. Like, that's what you needed to do.
I'm actually pumped about the Pistons next year. Like, they have the 8th pick in the draft, and like if they add like a Hezonja or a Justice Winslow or somebody like that to that team, I think this is going to be one of the more fun teams in the East next year playing that Van Gundy ball.
Yeah, I want to know who the point guard is.
Well, it's going to be Reggie. Like,
yeah, I'm not so excited.
Okay, well, we differ on Reggie Jackson here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like if you're going to have a Van Gundy team, wouldn't you want a guy who can shoot?
I think he can shoot.
Amazing that Reggie Jackson is the only Jackson in this database for this year.
Really?
That doesn't seem right.
How is that possible? Vroman would not count.
No, Jackson Vroman definitely wouldn't count. And Steven Jackson's not in the league.
Is Darnell Jackson in the
league? Darnell Jackson's not in the league.
Yeah, I guess there's only one. That's a huge burden he's carrying.
Yeah, that's the upset of the season.
Mark Jackson isn't even coaching anymore. Right. Neither is Phil Jackson.
No.
Crazy.
Yeah. So the NBA Finals are tonight.
He'll be in the league next year. Okay, let's move on.
NBA Finals are tonight. We got Game 4. An amazing Game 3 happened Tuesday night. Game 4, I'm trying to figure out how I feel about this because I felt like since Game 3 and being there in person and all that stuff, we talked about it?
We did.
Yeah. We talked about it and I think...
Oh, wait, did we?
I don't know. I told you at some point the Cavs are the favorites, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we talked about it. Cavs have to be the favorites, in my opinion, after controlling the first three games, going up 2-1. But I don't know. There's something about, as I've thought about it today and talked about it with a few people, I'm trying to figure out if the end of Game 4 was something that the Warriors can carry into Game... Or the end of Game 3 was something...
You said it wasn't. This is what you said yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I watched it again. I talked to the players. You know, and it's just lip service. Who knows what they're saying and whether... You know, it doesn't even matter if they believe it. It has to happen in application.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if that's a thing. I mean, I talked to Klay Thompson about it. I talked to Andrew Bogut about it. And they were kind of like, yeah, we think we can... You know, it's about adjusting and making the adjustments. But mostly it's about, you know, matching their energy. And so if it's just a... If it's a schematic thing, then that's one thing. If it's just a matter of matching urgency and energy, then I don't really know how to feel about it.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Like, well, we shouldn't be talking about, like, energy and urgency in the finals. It's so dumb. But, I mean, like, it's right. Like, there's a reason why Kerr was complaining about their body language after the game ended.
because that whole, I mean, the third quarter was just a massive, like, just like slumped shoulders everywhere and all that. Like, and they, to their credit, they really turned it around. And like, you know, I'm of the mind that they can build on it and that they can keep, you know, Steph can definitely build on it, because I think that that was pretty big for him. But yeah, there'll probably be a few little adjustments here there too. I think, you know, we talked about them playing Iguodala a little bit more. But I think the main thing for them is trying to figure out how to involve Draymond Green and Harrison Barnes. And maybe it's not schematic. Maybe they don't have to make any adjustments there. Maybe those guys just need to have a different mindset, and whether that means getting more hyped or whether it means just relaxing and taking shots that they've taken all year. Like, they need to contribute, because we've been talking about how the Warriors are this deeper team and they have so many weapons, but like, if two of the guys in their starting lineup who they've relied on the entire year are all of a sudden not contributing on offense, that's, and I mean, Bogut hasn't contributed a ton on offense either. Like, that's a huge problem.
It is a huge problem. I thought it was an interesting question. Jimmy Spencer from Sporting News and Stance brought up on Twitter that kind of, like, you know, he's being asked, are the Warriors shrinking from the moment? You know, is the NBA final stage the reason that they're shrinking? And I think that, you know, my response was, I don't think they're shrinking from the moment. I don't think the moment bothers them. I think it's the matchup that they're shrinking from. Like, I think there's a distinction there. And I think that you're seeing Draymond Green struggle to adapt to it. And he's, you know, a more perimeter-oriented guy. So is Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap can post up, but you really want him facing up or on the perimeter, right? So he can attack and have that head of steam. And both those guys have struggled against Tristan Thompson, who has become just a terrific perimeter-defending big man. And it's something where, you know, even when the trap comes and they get the ball out of Curry's hands and it goes to Draymond at the top, even when he drives into the basket, it's, you know, Mozgov's waiting there. Mozgov just eats him alive. Mm-hmm. And it's something that he can't figure out. And so he's got to figure out either how to make that jumper. I know he said his back's been locking up. So,
and that could be the big thing.
Yeah. And if that's the real reason this is happening, you know, then I guess you're just some loose muscles away from returning to form. I mean, that seems, I don't know if you can even rely on that at that point, right? Because, I mean, a back issue, you can never predict how the back injuries are going to go. But in that case, I don't know. I went back and rewatched it. I talked to some people. I wrote about it. Like, the David Lee edition was brilliant. And maybe overdue, but just watching him in a pick and roll compared to Festus Ezeli or Draymond Green has been, I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't that many possessions, but he moved the ball. He was comfortable. He could score.
It was decisive.
Yeah, it caused mismatches on offensive rebounding opportunities. I mean, there was a lot that happened from just that move, and I don't know how much you can play him. I know there's the defensive issues there. I don't believe their defense is the issue, though. I think it's, you know, it's been their offense the whole time, and I think maybe we talked about this even. You know, if that 36-24 fourth quarter happens in the first quarter tonight, then the Cavs can't really play slow. They can't play they can't dictate the pace as much. I mean, maybe they can feel like their defense will eventually even things out, and it's, you know, a valid strategy. But if the Warriors get out to that hot start, does it force the Cavs to play at a pace that the Warriors would rather play? I mean, I think there's a really good point. You know, it's a lot of interesting what ifs, and it is a what if, but you know, we saw the quarter happen. It's not crazy to think they could get out to a fast start this time with more urgency, more energy, assuming they can get to that point. They sound very pissed off and want to, you know, capitalize on that. And that's a dangerous thing, playing when you're pissed off. It can be a good thing for the team, but it could also be a detrimental thing where you start pressing and pushing and hurrying and rushing everything. But yeah, like, if they get off to the quick start, what does that force the Cavs to do? Do they not necessarily panic, but are they quick to adjust to it to try to make up ground and then try to slow the pace back down if they do? You know, I don't know. There are a lot of questions.
I think it's hard to play that kind of, you know, we're killing the clock and we're trying to drag out these possessions and we're trying to be really deliberate and take our time and whatever when you're facing a huge deficit, especially when you know that the Warriors are the kind of team that can increase that deficit, like, super fast.
Right.
So I think it's been huge that they haven't gotten off to poor starts. I think that's something I haven't really thought about that much is, you know, if the Warriors do start it off, that's scary. And that changes the entire complexion of a game. And I wonder, like, this has just been kind of, like, we've talked about how not every open shot is equal, and you can't just look at those numbers. Right. But, I mean, you do look at those numbers, and they, like, I keep just coming back to it. Like, and this was the same with the Hawks, and we watched them lose, so it's not necessarily going to rebound. But part of me just thinks, like, maybe this is as simple as, like, the Warriors just, they could have made a lot of those shots, and they could be winning this series right now. And maybe they don't have to do anything that different if they just make a few more of those looks, because Cleveland's defending them well. But I mean, we've seen all season, like, they've done amazing things against the best defenses in the league. And Memphis, I realized, like, they lost Tony Allen in that series, but they still remained a really good defensive team. And in a playoff setting,
they got lit up.
The Warriors just ran them off a court.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't shock me if the Warriors all of a sudden had a huge offensive night, and it might not necessarily have anything to do with Cleveland doing anything differently or doing anything wrong. Like, I just still come back to thinking, like, well, the Warriors, they were made uncomfortable, and they did lose some energy, but I think some of this is still kind of random.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, there's some randomness to it. There's always some randomness to it, and I think that's a valid point. It's still, though, you know, I've kept coming back to this thing of, like, I do believe the Warriors could stick with this strategy, and if shots fall, you know, everything changes. Yeah. I also think that a little bit, it barely worked in game one. It hasn't really worked in the last two games, even though they've been close. You're running out of time. I mean, this is, it's the finals. Like, it's, you know, you don't have much more time to be like, we think this is going to, if we stick with this, it'll work. Maybe you do need to make some adjustments. Every adjustment they were talking about, though, yesterday was about physicality and energy and urgency.
But they're also not going to say much about
that. Right, yeah, they're not going to say, oh, actually, we're going to go double from the weak side, from the top, every other possession. You know, like, they're not going to say that stuff, but it, you also look at a lot of the flat starts. I mean, game one, Warriors shot 27% in the first quarter. Game two, 35%. Game three, 39%. Yeah. I mean, they're not getting off to good starts.
Yeah, and that's been mainly their downfall here. Like, I wonder, there was a point on, I listened to the Low Post, and Amin Alhassan was saying they should try putting Draymond on LeBron because, it hasn't worked when he's had him in switches. But maybe if you say this is your assignment, then he'll get up for it and he'll get amped for it and he'll lock in, like he locked into the Anthony Davis matchup, like he locked into when he knew he was going to be going up against Marc Gasol, which sounds like something that he should be able to do. And that maybe if he was more engaged defensively instead of playing a guy like Thompson, who, while is a good player and certainly causes lots of problems with his offensive rebounding, is not a guy that you go into the evening saying, I got to shut down Thompson tonight. Like, if he's better on defense and contributes in that way against LeBron, that it would free him up to play more relaxed offensively. I don't know. Like, I think that's kind of risky, but do you think that might be something they look at?
Man, I don't know. Maybe you can go crazy big and go, you know, not to start the game, obviously, but go Bogut, Lee, Draymond, and then implement that strategy. I just think, like, you know, I know Harrison Barnes did a good job on Zach Randolph, but can he, it's different between guarding someone in the post where you can kind of float around and orbit the player and shade, you know, and try to take away passing angles. It's another thing to box a dude out like Tristan Thompson. And not that Zach Randolph is easy to box out by any means, but Zach Randolph is worrying about more things within that possession. Tristan Thompson is worrying about going and getting the rebound.
Yeah.
And so,
no, that's fair.
Yeah. So that, I mean, to me, that's very risky. I don't hate the idea. I'd be pretty hesitant on it. Draymond Green in this series is shooting 12.5% on wide open threes. Yeah. And those are the only threes he's taken.
And he's taking them reluctantly.
Yeah.
Like, he just hasn't been himself. Like, he hasn't resembled this guy.
The Cavs are very comfortable with him taking outside shots.
Yeah.
He's 1 of 8 on wide open threes. in the series.
So, I mean, he, if you, like, I'm sure you've seen his quote. I don't know if you were in the scrums, but after the game and at practice, like, he basically was owning up to it and saying, like, yeah, like, we didn't play the way we need to. It's going to be different next time. I'm going to be different this time. I'm not going to hesitate. I'm not going to sit here and say I've been confident in my shot. These aren't direct quotes, but this was the gist of what he was getting at. So he's a guy that, like, knowing everything we know about him, and you know, he was a big game player in college too. Like, this is his first finals, but, like, he had a lot of experience playing on a big stage at Michigan State. Like, I would be surprised, unless it's just the injury that's doing this to him, which is a different story. But assuming that he's physically able to, like, hit some threes, then I would be surprised if he kept being a non-factor.
Yeah.
And I would be interested in seeing if they put him on LeBron a little, because I thought they would give LeBron more different looks than they have so far. Like, they have given him different looks, and they've changed the way they've sent help to him and stuff like that, but I think they haven't, like, they've been going mainly with Barnes and Iguodala guarding him.
Yeah. I had a friend text me yesterday saying, is it possible Draymond Green has become the Warriors' Nick Anderson, which made me feel really bad for everybody involved.
I hope not.
It was kind of messed up, but I don't know. It's a valid question, I guess.
I mean, we saw, there were, like, late in that game, like, we saw, like, a few possessions in a row that were just killed by the fact that he wasn't ready to shoot.
Yeah.
Or that he didn't want to shoot. And it's just, like, while we praised him like crazy throughout the regular season for how he transformed the Warriors' offense and defense, if he's, like, that impact goes away if he's not willing to be a threat. So
yep.
He's got to be different. I'm sure David Lee will play, but I don't love the idea of being like, all right, David Lee's going to play like 29 minutes now, because I'm not sure he's in the condition to do so after not playing all year.
I'm guessing, what did he play in game one? Like 17 minutes?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think pushing 20 is probably about the limit you want to do, because then, I mean, there are also the defensive issues.
Yeah, and Cleveland knows it's coming now.
Yeah.
It's not going to surprise them.
Yeah. Oh, he played 13 minutes in game one. Yeah, I think 20 is pushing it.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do a quick episode today, not too long, just because we've there's not a lot to talk about outside of, you know, player
well,
last
and this,
names.
You know, and this, we got to get this up quickly. Like, the game is about to start. You got to go.
Yeah, I'm heading out in a little bit. So we're going to do we got some player props.
Yes.
Yeah, player props coming on. So I'll just scroll through some quick ones. Actually, I want to do the team props real quick.
Okay.
Because I like doing those. We going Warriors or Cavaliers first to score?
Cavaliers.
I'm going Warriors.
Okay.
Last team to score?
Cavaliers, but it's meaningless.
Warriors, and it's meaningless. I don't know which way. first team to 10 points.
Warriors.
Yeah, I'll go.
There was some tension for half a second.
No,
there.
Going Cavs. Cavs first to 10.
Oh, okay. I like this. You're just going to just keep picking what I'm not picking.
That's worked out for you so far. First team to 20.
Warriors.
Warriors. First team to 30.
The Warriors, and Leandro Barbosa gets it.
Wow. Warriors.
Very specific. I'm going to freak out if he's the one that gets him to
Warriors, play. Sean Livingston.
Okay.
Over, under, largest lead, 14.5.
Under.
Going over.
For whom?
Warriors? This is making it sound like I really think the Warriors are going to win this game, and I have no idea. I've not gotten to that point in my decisions yet. All right, total points for Steph Curry, 29. Over, under.
Over.
I'm pushing. How about that? 29 on the nose.
With, all right,
with
sure.
eight made threes. total first quarter points for Steph Curry. 7.5 over under.
Over.
Over as well. Total made free throws for Steph Curry, 4.5.
Over.
Under. I don't think he's getting to the free throw line.
I think he's going to be like looking to get in the paint a lot.
Will he miss a free throw? Yes or no?
No.
I'm going to say no as well.
I'm offended by that question.
So, total made three-point field goals, 2.5.
Wait.
2.5 for Steph Curry.
For Steph?
Put everything you have on the over.
Is this a trick question?
Even if he's like 3 for 16, that's still 3.
You get a 2 in the first like 2 minutes. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going way over. You could
I'm
going
to be so bummed if Steph has a bad game.
I know. It'd be really unfortunate.
I'll feel responsible.
It'll be your fault. You could also go 3.5, 4.5 on those. I'd take the over on all of them.
Yeah,
I think he's hitting at least 5 threes. What
might do that in the first half.
What will Steph Curry do first? Make or miss a 3?
He'll make it, right?
Yes. No.
There's so much drama.
I know. I got the hot take drama. All right. Draymond Green, total points, over under 12.
Oh, that's tough.
I'm going under.
I'm going under, but I hope I'm wrong. I want to see this guy bounce back. He's like, seriously, he's been one of the most fun players in the NBA this year.
Yeah.
And if he goes out like this, that sucks for everybody who doesn't live in Ohio.
Andre Iguodala, over under 10 points.
Over.
Yeah, I think over. I think he's been too good.
Ooh, and I just think he's going to get heavy minutes.
Yeah, this is a good one. LeBron James, over under.
LeBron James.
36 points.
I mean,
I'm going over.
We're looking at his averages here.
His average is 41.
You got to go over. That's just math.
Lowest he's had is 39. I'm going over, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going over.
Total rebounds and assists for LeBron, 20.5.
Over.
I'm gonna go under.
Okay. Actually, hold on. 20.5?
Yeah. That's not that. I mean, that's actually. This. I don't know why I'm going under. I actually feel really stupid about that.
Let's switch.
I'll go over. There we go. Did we just trade a prop bet?
That's legal in the CBA.
What will LeBron do first? Make a free throw or miss a free throw?
He'll make a free throw.
I agree. What will he do first? Make a 3 or miss a 3?
Miss a 3.
I agree. J.R. Smith, over under 14 points.
Under.
I'm going over.
Of course you are.
Do
you wear your J.R. Smith jersey to the game when you cover it?
I actually did that thing that Nerlens Noel did, I think Drake had, where you like line the inside of your suit jacket with it. Yeah, that's what I did.
Drake did. Actually, if you go to Nerlens' Twitter account, he retweeted a photo. There's like a kid who graduated, and he was wearing the like gown thing.
Oh, but,
like,
okay.
Underneath it, he had a Nerlens Noel Sixers jersey. And Amazing. Then in the photo, he's like ripping the gown to show that he has Sixers pride, which is wonderful.
Tristan Thompson, total rebounds, 12.5.
Over.
Yeah, I'm going over. Tristan Thompson, total points, 8.5.
Under.
I'm going to go over. I think we're getting a double-double out of him.
All right.
I'm going to say 11-15.
Things are looking pretty good for the Cavs if Tristan Thompson is
couple
figures.
Matthew Dellavedova, total rebounds and assists, 7.
Well, last game he had 9, and it felt like he was, like, the MVP of sports.
Right.
So I'm going to say under.
I'm going to say over. Delvadover. What will Deli do first, make a 3 or miss a 3?
He'll miss one.
I'm going miss. You know what? I'm going under on the rebounds assist thing now. I'm switching back. I'm okay. Delvadunder. I'm going.
What will happen first? Will
you know why?
Dive on the floor for a loose ball or have the crowd chant his name?
Well, I think
or they happen simultaneously.
Does he commit a foul first or dive on the floor first?
Ooh, what? But that could also happen simultaneously.
Could happen simultaneously. Well, like, technically, he'd be diving before the foul, most likely.
Unless he flopped.
That's true. I'm going foul, and I think it's an off-ball holding Steph Curry.
Okay. Sure, I'll go foul. Whatever, okay. That's fine.
I also think that I think he's going to have a bad game because he's switching up his routine with this coffee thing so that he won't cramp.
Yeah, I just think it'd be hard for him to have the type of game that he had last time. Although it would be interesting. It is really funny how he's become like. It's like the Jeremy Lin sanity thing, except that was like a few weeks worth of work.
Right.
And like Deli, it's just like, I mean, he has had an impact before in the playoffs. Like, that's obviously he's been a storyline for the last little while. But, like, that last game, really, like, he that's when he scored 20, and that's when he became this. I don't know. It, like, how many articles have been written about him in the last less than 48 hours? Like,
yeah, I
it
mean,
is nuts.
More compared to his career before the playoffs.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yes.
And then we have the line for the game. Warriors are 4-point favorites.
This sounds really dumb based on how the series has gone, but I like the Warriors.
Everything that makes sense to me makes me feel like the Cavaliers win tonight and really take control of the series.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going with the Warriors.
Yeah, we're together.
Nothing has made sense to me in this season series, and I'm just going to go against my instincts. My instincts say the Cavs, I'm going Warriors.
We're both sticking with the Titanic here.
Warriors by 13. How about that? How about that for a hot take?
I'll go 14. This is like the Price is Right. I just want to, like...
108.95. That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
I have nothing to base that off of.
Yeah. I think they'll crack 100, which...
If they crack 100, that's got to be a win, right?
I mean, unless LeBron goes for, like, 50-something.
Yeah. All right.
Which, like, we can't... Like, why should we rule that out?
Oh, I'm almost guaranteed. You could put LeBron's over-under at, like, 43, and I think I'd still go over.
Okay. Can we have an update on you asking Draymond Green why he's so arrogant? And if you've seen his mother's tweets?
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen after tonight's game.
Okay.
Because, well, I guess with what I'm predicting, quote-unquote predicting.
You're definitely predicting.
Yeah, the predictions I don't believe in at all. I guess this would be the night. Or maybe if they end up coming back and winning the championship, maybe I'll ask him after that.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, if they win in game 6 here for some reason, then that would be the way. That would be the time to do it.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I would hope that he, you know, when like then Ron Artest brought his whole family up to the podium with him.
Yeah.
Like if Draymond just had his mom there, like that would be lovely. And then you could ask like while she was there if he had seen her tweets.
I don't know why, but I want to see them make Kuzmich do a Riley Curry impersonation. Like someone brings up Kuzmich as Riley Curry if they win the championship. So now I guess
Steph would bring him.
Yeah. Oh, if Steph brought up Kuzmich. Oh, man. Well, now I have to root for the Warriors. I didn't care before, but now.
Table?
Yeah.
That'd be really uncomfortable for a man as tall as him.
That'd have to be a big table.
I don't even know if that's possible.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Like, he'd have to be sort of lying down.
Yeah.
But shout out to Kuzmich, though.
Shout out to Ogden? Ogden?
Onion.
Onion?
But that sounds like I'm saying onion. Or like Onyong, like in Arrested Development.
Shout out to the Onion.
Like, yeah, shout out to the Onion and Click Hole.
Basketball Reference says Ogden.
Ogden? Okay.
Ogden.
We're doing horribly with this.
Just call him the Kuz. All right, James. I'm gonna go to the arena.
There's never been another relevant basketball player called the Kuz.
No, not yet. I'm going to go to the arena. You enjoy the game, and I will talk to you maybe tomorrow, but definitely next week.
Absolutely.